This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Dr. Michio Kaku. I'm a professor of theoretical physics at the City College and the City University of New York. And today we are going out there. I mean, really out there. The book is called Out There, A Scientific Guide to Alien Life, Antimatter, and Human Space Travel for the Cosmically Curious. That's right. We're going to be encountering aliens. We're going to be talking about starships, maybe even time travel, and all this stuff you see on television. But have you ever wondered and scratched your head, is all this bunk? Is all this nonsense? I mean, what do scientists say about this? Well, the author of the book is Michael Wall, senior editor at space.com. And whenever I want to know what's happening with the space program, with NASA, and with the exploration of the universe, I go to space.com. He's a senior editor there. He has a PhD in biology. And once again, the name of the book is Out There, A Scientific Guide to Alien Life, Antimatter, and Human Space Travel. And if you want to find out more about my work, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. On Facebook, it's Michio Kaku. We have 3 million fans on Facebook. On Twitter, we have about 1 million fans on Twitter. And I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. The latest New York Times bestseller is called The Future of Humanity. That's right, Humanity as We Terraform Mars, Humanity as We Go Past Titan, and perhaps even to the nearby stars. So in that book, I interview the top scientists of the world, Nobel laureates, directors of major laboratories, as they talk about what could happen one day if we become a multi-planet species. Some people even think that NASA is entering a second golden age of space exploration. NASA for so long was considered, quote, the agency to nowhere. I mean, after all that publicity, it doesn't really go anywhere anymore. It just spins wheels around the Earth, never leaves Earth orbit until now. Now there's a directive from the president himself saying that the moon, Mars, and beyond, quote unquote, are the next destinations for the manned space program. Well, once again, today we have with us Michael Wall, senior editor at space.com, author of a new book just coming out called Out There, A Scientific Guide to Alien Life, Antimatter, and Human Space Travel. Well, Michael, you have a PhD in biology. What set you off with this interest in outer space and understanding alien life?
Yeah, it's just something I've always been interested in. I mean, I took a couple astronomy classes during college, and it's just something that's always fascinated me. So both of those things, biology and astronomy, it just kind of dovetailed. I was a practicing biologist for a number of years, but I'd always wanted to write, so I decided to kind of make the transition into science writing, and landed at space.com, and it's been really fun so far.
Okay, well, let's just jump right into the heart of your program, Alien Life in Outer Space. Now, we're not talking about Hollywood. We are talking about physics, biology, and science. But tell us, in your book, you talk about what aliens are going to look like when we meet them. So first of all, do you think we are going to meet them? And if so, what are they going to look like?
Yeah, I mean, I'm an optimist about this. I think there's just so much real estate out there. I think it would be really surprising if there's just nothing anywhere. I mean, we've learned over the past decade or so that about a quarter of all the stars that are in our galaxy and probably in like all galaxies, if our galaxy is representative, probably hosts like a relatively Earth-like planet, one that's about our size, is probably rocky and about the right distance from its star to host liquid water. So yeah, just with the numbers involved, it would be kind of mind-boggling to me anyway, if there's just nothing out there. And like as far as meeting them goes, I don't know what kind of time scales we can be optimistic on. That's pure speculation, like a lot of his stuff is. But I mean, I think that we'll probably find something relatively soon. I mean, we're finding out in our own backyard, in our own solar system, there are multiple potentially habitable worlds. We've got moons in the outer solar system that have deep oceans, and we're just coming to grips with this now. I mean, we're like learning Mars used to be like a pretty balmy ocean world. Venus used to have an ocean before it went runaway greenhouse and baked out. So I think that we have a good shot at finding something in our own backyard relatively soon. I don't know about farther afield. I mean, I think like once we get some more powerful instruments up and online, like the James Webb Space Telescope NASA wants to launch in 2021, that'll be able to kind of scan alien atmospheres, planets that are not too far away from us, that might be able to host life. This big telescope will be able to find maybe signs of some kind of microbial life in those atmospheres. So I'm pretty optimistic about that. As far as like intelligent alien life, that's kind of a crapshoot. I'm not sure. I think it's probably out there, but this just, I mean, I don't know if and when we're going to make contact with it. That's just harder to kind of pin down.
Okay, well, we had with us on air Dr. Seth Shostak, PhD in physics, and also one of the senior astronomers at the SETI project, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and he put his foot down. He said in 25 years, that's right, he's going to put his scientific reputation on the line. He's going to put money where his mouth is. In 25 years, we will make contact not with microbial life, but an advanced civilization in space. Do you share that optimism or pessimism, depending upon your point of view?
I mean, I'm not quite as optimistic as Seth. Seth's a really good guy, and I'm very glad that he is this optimistic. He's a very smart guy, and he knows study. He's been doing it for a long time. So I would like take that information and properly weight it, because he definitely knows what he's talking about. But it's just, I mean, I don't know. It's just tough to say anything about timelines when you're talking about study, just because we don't know anything about what we're looking for, really. We don't know what kind of signals might be sent. We don't know how far away the sort of nearest civilization is. There would have to be like a time sync up. I mean, like we live in a universe that's 13.8 billion years old, and we've been technological just for a century or so. And so you're talking about all these distances, space and time. We would have to kind of sync up with another intelligent species, and our signals would have to cross just right, and we'd have to be capable of interpreting them as signals. So, I mean, I don't know. There are just so many variables involved. I think it's really hard to put a time limit on it. But I would love, love, love for that to come true. I would love to be around and still in possession of my faculties when we do actually come up with something.
Okay, well, you have a chapter in your book called Are We All Martians? In other words, were we seeded by maybe a meteorite or whatever from Mars that contained DNA? And perhaps when you look in a mirror, you're looking at a Martian. Could you elaborate?
Yeah, this is an idea. It sounds kind of crazy, but it's really not that crazy when you kind of think about it. I mean, Mars, we've been learning lately that Mars used to be pretty habitable. It used to have oceans, used to have rivers, lakes that actually lasted for a long time in the ancient past. Things started changing about 3.5 billion years ago when that planet lost its like powerful global magnetic field, and its atmosphere got stripped away by the solar wind, and then it just dried out and got freezing cold. Mars used to be a pretty good place for life to get started, and there are reasons to think that actually Mars could have hosted life first. I mean, before Earth did. It's smaller than Earth, so it would have cooled off like right after its formation before Earth did. And so it would have been suitable for kind of Earth-like life before Earth was. And it's farther out than Earth. It's sort of one of these things. I mean, we've been trading rocks with other planets in the inner solar system for years and years. You know,
okay, Michael, we have to take a short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of your latest book, Out There, A Scientific Guide to Alien Life, Antimatter, and Human Space Travel for the Cosmically Curious. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Dr. Michio Kaku. If you want to be part of the March of Science, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135, and ask that question on almost 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic.
Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way. Gold is a better way.com. Imagine doing business with a company that seeks to add massive value before asking for your business. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the co-owner of Advantage Gold and the author of the now national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. This book may not be for you, but if you're like most people, you'll be blown away when you learn why gold is set to soar to over $10,000. And as a bonus for hitting the bestsellers list, I've been gifted 250 copies from my publisher. If you have an IRA or 401k with over $100,000, I want to send you a copy of the national best-selling book. You can buy it on Amazon or go to Barnes & Noble or be among the first 250 people to reply. Just text the word bestseller to 49776. That's bestseller to 49776 to claim your free national best-selling book now. That's the word bestseller to 49776. We promise to add massive value before ever asking for your business. Just text the word bestseller to 49776.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Dr. Michio Kaku. On the air today is Michael Wall, PhD in biology, and also a senior editor at space.com. And the book is called Out There, A Scientific Guide to Alien Life, Antimatter, and Human Space Travel for the Cosmically Curious. So let's just jump right into one of the chapters of your book with the outrageous title, Do Aliens Have Sex? Now, by that, I guess you don't mean sex with us, because we're not going to be made out of the same DNA as aliens. But, of course, I guess what you're asking is, will aliens have sex with each other? Could you elaborate?
Yeah, this is just one of those things. I mean, sex is pretty, it's pretty pervasive here on Earth, obviously. I mean, a lot of animals do it, plants do it. And so it's kind of reasonable to ask if that would translate to another system, to another planet, to another kind of biosphere. And I mean, yeah, I mean, it seems like it probably would happen just because sex is a really efficient way of exchanging genes, keeping your genetic diversity up, which is really important if you're in an environment that changes over time, if you have to battle pathogens and you have to battle other like environmental factors that change over time. That's really why sex works here on Earth and why it's been such a prominent part of our biosphere, because it like allows our organisms here to kind of be like ready to kind of deal with changing conditions down the road. And there's really no reason to think that wouldn't be the case on like other planets too. I mean, it's reasonable to assume that if you get to a certain size as a plant or as an animal, whether you're here on Earth or on some exoplanet somewhere, that you would need to incorporate genetic diversity into your descendants' genomes. And sex is really the only way to kind of do it once you get to a certain size. I mean, if you're a bacterium or something, you can just kind of, you can swap DNA, you can kind of grab stuff that you pick up in the environment as you're swimming along. But if you have multiple cells, if you've got a big body that you need to get all this new DNA into, then sex is pretty much the only way to do it efficiently.
Okay, now, in the television and movies, the aliens, of course, want to eat us. There's one episode of Twilight Zone where the aliens left a book behind called To Serve Man. And they thought, oh, yeah. Wow, the aliens want to serve us. But, of course, that book turned out to be a cookbook, and they wanted to eat us. So are the aliens going to want to eat us, given the fact that our amino acids may be totally different from their proteins?
Yeah, that's a really good question. This gets into, I mean, should we be afraid of sort of making contact, right? If there's an advanced civilization, if they're far beyond us, which they probably would be if we make contact with them, because we're just in our technological infancy, right? I don't know about eating us. I don't think, it would probably be a stretch to think that our biologies would be so compatible that they could kind of cook us up and get something out of that, just because we probably have like very different kind of metabolic kind of strategies that have evolved over the eons. But I mean, this just gets into, should we be afraid? Could they want to kind of, they use our planet, strip it for resources, just kind of like, I mean, get us out of the way so that they can use this planet for their own purposes, transform it to their own needs, terraform it maybe to their own particular needs. That's a question that people have, right? I mean, and this is something actually Stephen Hawking raised this. He was pretty cautious and actually urged astronomers to be cautious about sending signals out to the cosmos trying to make contact with ET, because it's like, we don't know who we're going to raise if we do get a response. We don't know if it's going to be somebody who's nice and just wants to come say hi and share all their technological secrets with us, or if it's going to be some kind of Borg-like race that just wants to conquer and sort of take over. So that like might be a really low chance to kind of get in contact with a species that wants to destroy us all, but it's a non-zero chance. And so it would have real consequences.
Now, in the seminal novel War of the Worlds, the Martians didn't hate us. The Martians weren't evil. They weren't bloodthirsty pirates or anything like that. No, we just were in the way, and we had to be removed to make room for the Martians. So do you think that is actually a rather plausible scenario, that for whatever reason, aliens out there may want a nice planet like the Earth, and we're just in the way? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can discount that. I think it's really possible. I mean, judging by kind of how we're treating our biosphere and not in the most responsible way, it's not out of the realm of possibility to think that there's an advanced civilization somewhere that has done some horrible damage to their own home world, and they've had to spread outward looking for other places to live. And so as they're scanning around looking for a biosphere that's already up and running, that they don't need to create from scratch, they just need to transform. Maybe they would see Earth and be like, oh, that's nice. But it's got all this oxygen in the air. We can't breathe that. We got to get rid of these pesky plants. And they have to kind of transform it and get us out of the way. I mean, I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. It's something that you have to think about when you're planning to send messages out into the cosmos and say, hey, this is us. We're here on Earth. Come and talk to us and let's like share our histories and like try to understand the universe together. So yeah, I mean, I don't like, I'm not scared of that. It doesn't keep me up at night, but it's something that you do have to consider, I think.
Okay, well, the latest Superman movie, and of course, the movie is where most people get most of their science. The latest Superman movie, the Kryptonians basically sequence all the genes of every single person on the planet and put it in a capsule, which was then embedded in Superman's body. And the Kryptonians wanted to kill all humans and then resurrect by cloning the entire Kryptonian race on our ashes, because all their genomes have been preserved. Now, is that possible? I mean, let's talk about whether it's possible or simply violates the known laws of physics and biology. Is that possible that you can sequence the genome and memories of every single creature on a planet and then go to another planet and take over by cloning? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's possible. And there are some scientists who have actually raised that as like a way for us to avoid extinction if we're worried about these sorts of things. Like, I mean, this is probably years down the road that we'd be able to do anything like this, but we could encode all of our DNA into a radio signal, say, and just beam it across the cosmos and just have it out there in case like somebody stumbles upon it and that race of super advanced aliens, whoever it is capable of like decoding those instructions, and they actually want to kind of recreate us, then that would be a possibility. Or we could do something like a little less digital. We could kind of genetically engineer bacteria with our own DNA and send them out to space and try to seed multiple worlds. And if like we're advanced enough, we could theoretically make that leap from these little bacteria carrying our DNA. They could become little factories and they could reassemble us on another world. I mean, this is not stuff we can do now, but we're still so young. We're just learning how to do these things. If you fast forward 5 or 10,000 years, it's pretty hard to imagine what we'd be capable of. And some of this really like kind of out there stuff might be within our grasp. It's just really hard to actually know like where we're going and what we're going to be capable of in the far future.
Okay, well, let's ask the question that Enrico Fermi asked during World War II, and that is, where are they? Why don't they make contact with us, whether they're evil or whether they're benevolent? Why do they simply land on the White House lawn and say, Mr. President, here we are, folks. Why don't they do that?
Yeah, this is something, see, this is like a 60-year-old mystery, 70-year-old mystery almost, and it's only deepened over time, because he was talking about where are the visitors? Why haven't we been visited yet? And now it's broadened into, well, like, we've been searching for signals too now for 60 years and we haven't found anything. So where are they? Not just visitants, but like, where are these civilizations that might be producing radio waves, laser light flashes all throughout the universe? Where are they? And that's just like, that's the $64,000 question. Nobody knows the answer to that. And there's lots of things that could be going on. I mean, it could be that life is really rare throughout the cosmos. Maybe even we're the only technological species. Maybe we're the only life at all. I find that hard to believe just based on like how many worlds there are out there and how fast life got started here on Earth. I mean, there were microbes here on Earth about 4 billion years ago. So that suggests that it's not that hard for life to get going. But it's possible that it's tough for life to make that step up to complex life, to animal life, and then to kind of technological intelligence. That actually took a really long time here on Earth. So it's possible, you know, maybe there may be simple life common throughout the cosmos, but there are just a few intelligent technological species scattered here and there. And the distances between them are just so great it's just really hard for them to make contact. And we're talking about a deep time span too. I mean, almost 14 billion years, they would have to line up in space and in time. And maybe that doesn't happen very often. And we've only been looking for 60 years. And that's just like a tiny little sliver. And when you talk about life on Earth and the age of the universe, it's very possible that we've been visited back before there were people, right? I mean, we can't like totally discount that as a crazy notion. Maybe aliens.
Okay, we have to take another short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of Out There, a scientific guide to alien life, antimatter, and human space travel for the cosmically curious by Michael Wall of space.com. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Give us a call.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
President Donald Trump is not ruling anything out when it comes to U.S. policy toward Venezuela.
Are you willing to commit U.S. military if necessary to force Maduro?
No, I don't want to say that, but it's always an option. Everything's an option. I take no options off the table.
Also during his White House briefing, President Trump seemed to indicate he may declare a national emergency to finish the border wall.
We're building the wall. A lot of it is, the chant now should be finish the wall as opposed to build the wall, because we're building a lot of wall.
And a recent report by the Department of Labor indicates the economy added 340,000 jobs in the month of January. President Trump says despite skeptics, he's had confidence in America's growing workforce. Unemployment figures for December show a job market that continues to be among the strongest in recent memory, and 2019 is picking up where 2018 left off. The U.S. has now added jobs for 100 straight months, the longest such period on record. You're listening to USA Radio News.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-296-1261. 800-296-1261. 800-296-1261. That's 800-296-1261.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of my pillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented my pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Science Fantastic.
Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, you're listening to Science Fantastic, and give us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, ask that question. Make that comment that's always been bothering you, and maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry science. Fantastic. Also, go to my website, mkaku.org. We have 3 million fans on Facebook, 100,000 fans on Twitter, and 4 New York Times bestsellers. The latest one is called The Future of Humanity, talking about terraforming Mars, going on to Titan, building the first starships, and who knows, perhaps even conquering the galaxy one day. Other books include The Future of the Mind. As physics, we are now probing right into the secrets of the human brain. Telepathy, telekinesis, recording dreams, all of them were once considered preposterous and nonsense until now. Now we physicists can actually do all of the above. And in Physics of the Impossible, I talk about warp drive. I talk about time travel. I talk about what it would take to build the first starships. So let me ask you a question. What do you think? How come they haven't visited us yet?
I think it's a combination of things. But I think it's a combination of some of those things we were just talking about, distance, time, have to overlap. And, I mean, I think based on life on Earth's example, how it took a long time for an intelligent species here to evolve, and that being in the technological sense anyway, you know, there's like lots of kinds of intelligence, but we're the only species capable of building spaceships and so on. That took us so long to actually to happen here. So I would suspect that actually simple life's pretty common across the universe, but there are only a few scattered pockets here and there of intelligent life. And the time and distance thing is a very big deal. And there's a motivation question. We have to talk about, I mean, it's tough to go into ET psychology, but it's possible that there are some species out there that are fully capable of actually reaching out to us, but haven't done so for a variety of reasons. You know, maybe they're just observing us. Maybe they don't find us sufficiently interesting. And actually, maybe there are a few species out there who are scared to try to make contact with any other species. Maybe they're worried about the Borg or some other, like kind of malevolence or at least like very indifferent species that would cruise around the galaxy colonizing and just wiping other species out. So it's probably a combination of lots of different factors. It's just really hard to know. I don't think there's any one single answer. I think it's probably a bunch of things working in concert.
Well, Arthur C. Clarke, the science fiction writer, once said, either they're out there or they're not out there. Either thought is frightening. Now, if you think about it, if we're the only ones, then that's frightening because we're all alone. But if we're not the only one, then that's frightening too because we don't know what their intentions are. Now, my personal point of view is that if you walk in a forest and meet a squirrel, do you go down to the squirrels and engage them in a conversation? Well, yeah, at first you might do that. But after a while, you get bored because they don't talk back to you. I mean, they don't say anything interesting for you, and so you simply leave them alone and go on and do whatever you do. Also, you have a chapter about what happens if the aliens do want to kill us or they want to conquer us and take our resources. What would it be like? Would it be like the barbarians meeting the Roman Empire for the very first time or the Aztecs meeting Cortez for the first time? What would it be like?
Oh, I think it would be far worse than either of those situations for us.
Okay, we have to take another short commercial break, but after the break, we'll talk about what happens if we do meet them, and they're not nice at all. Okay, you're listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station, and the city you're calling from, and then ask that question and get on national radio.
Anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
You may need this herbal tea for relief right away, so write this down. DrMillersClinic.com. If you take meds, then suffer stomach distress, constipation, indigestion, acid reflux, and bloating, and nothing else helps, get Dr. Miller's Holy Tea or Super Holy Tea, a cleansing, detoxifying herbal tea now available at great rates direct from Dr. Miller's office. Call or click 888-660-7039 or DrMillersClinic.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Michael Wall, senior editor at space.com, author of a new book, Out There: A Scientific Guide to Alien Life, Antimatter, and Human Space Travel. Well, my colleague, the late Stephen Hawking, once said that, well, yeah, making contact with aliens will be interesting, but watch out. They could be malevolent. And who knows? Why should we advertise our existence when we don't know what they want? So what are your thoughts? What happens if they are advanced and they are malevolent? Then what do we do?
Yeah, I think we just cross our fingers and kind of hope and pray, because if like they're capable of actually getting here and making contact with us, and the inner spaceships coming to where we are, you know, we are nowhere close to being able to actually do that. So they would be far, far, far advanced. We wouldn't be able to do very much of anything, I would expect. So they would pretty much be able to have their way with us, whatever they wanted to do. They'd be capable of actually controlling so much energy that they would have to put in their starships to kind of get here. They could just drop all that energy on our heads if they wanted to. We couldn't do anything about it. So I don't think it would be like Independence Day where you've got a few lucky pilots and who punch aliens in the face and save the Earth. I think that's not going to happen. We would be pretty much at their whim. But would they want to do that? That's a whole other question. What would the motivation be? And yeah, I mean, Stephen, that's a debate that's going on right now within study. You know, there are some people who are very concerned about beaming messages out, like Dr. Hawking was, right? And there are some people who just want to do it because they kind of reason, well, they already know that we're here anyway. If they're that advanced, they can find our kind of radio leakage going out into the galaxy. They already know we're here. So we may as well, to kind of take your squirrel analogy, if you found a talking squirrel, you would talk to that squirrel, right? You'd be like, ooh, what's this? So it's like maybe they're just waiting for us to show a sign that we're worth talking to. And so that's the reason to beam messages out. So that's a debate that's going on now. And there's people who feel very strongly about it on both sides.
Okay, also you have a chapter about time travel. So tell us a little bit about what your thoughts are about time travel, given the fact that we physicists are still debating the question.
Yeah. And you obviously know a lot more about this than I do. But it's basically, there are some people who think it might just be like a novelty. I mean, obviously you can solve Einstein's equations to find ways to time travel. So there are ways to do it, it's really unclear if it's actually possible in the real physical world, right? So it might just be kind of like a quirk of the equations, or it might be something we can actually exploit. And we're not sure which one of those things is true until we get kind of like a theory of that melds the quantum world with the broad kind of general relativity world. I mean, we need quantum gravity to know if it's actually possible out here in the real world or kind of just on a sheet of paper in those equations.
Right. Well, you mentioned, of course, the quantum problem. And, of course, that'll perhaps definitively answer the question yes or no. But in terms of energy, just in terms of energy to build a time machine, do you think someone could do that in their garage? Or do you have to have energy comparable to a black hole to rip the fabric of space and time and something like negative energy to stabilize the black hole? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is not something that's going to be built in somebody's garage. You'd have to probably be a very advanced civilization to be able to control these sorts of energies. And negative energy, that's a really interesting thing. It sounds crazy and it sounds kind of made up, but we actually know it exists, that we've like seen its effects. I mean, if you put two plates really close together, you can they can see the effect of like negative energy as they kind of push against each other. And so we know it exists, but we don't know if we can harness it or if it's there in kind of big enough numbers. So, I mean, and in terms of like opening up wormholes and like trying to stabilize them with negative energy, and like you could turn wormholes into a time machine if you're sufficiently advanced theoretically. I mean, we don't know. Yeah, we're nowhere near advanced to kind of harness those sorts of energies, or even know at this point if it's feasible or even kind of physically possible, like in our universe. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully people will kind of get to the bottom of the physics involved, and we'll know for sure in like the relatively near future.
Well, I saw the movie Interstellar, and a Nobel Prize winner actually consulted for that movie. So I kind of wondered how they would get around the fact that you need the energy of a black hole to open a gateway through time. But we'll talk about that after the break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letter to the radio station you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and maybe you can ask that question and get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. So, give us a call.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Just visit startlivingyoung.com and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health company with over $1 billion a year in sales. They'll provide all the tools you need to succeed. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Michael Wall, senior editor at space.com, author of a new book out there, A Scientific Guide to Alien Life, Antimatter, and Human Space Travel for the Cosmically Curious. Before the break, we talked about a movie called Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey, where a Nobel Prize winner was actually a consultant for that movie in which there was time travel. So I said to myself, how's he going to do this? How's he going to get around the fact that you need energy comparable to a black hole to rip the fabric of space and time? Well, they cheated. It turns out that aliens in the far, far future gave us this time machine, and actually they were our descendants. They were our children, our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. So who created the time machine? We did. That is, our descendants did. And they gave us the secret of time travel by going back into the past when humanity was almost wiped out. A very clever way of getting around that one. Well, in the title of your book, you also mentioned antimatter. So tell us a little about what antimatter is, how we make it in the laboratory, and of what use is it as we explore outer space?
Well, yeah, antimatter is sort of like this bizarre counterpart of the normal matter that kind of makes us up. And there's not a lot of it out there. We actually have to kind of produce it in the lab if we want to make it. And it's really expensive to actually do this. I mean, you need particle accelerators, and this stuff is really volatile. If it comes into contact with like an atom of actually regular matter, it'll annihilate and so explode, basically. And that's why it's so intriguing as a potential fuel for starships, because when it annihilates, it's 100% efficient. Like it transforms all of the mass into energy. And so, like, theoretically, if you can harness that energy, then you could have a very efficient, very fast starship. And so that's why you see antimatter drives, Star Trek, and so on and so forth. I mean, it would be a very effective way to actually propel a starship. But it's so hard to make the stuff and so expensive. We've only got like a few grams of it anywhere in the world, or maybe even less than that. And you would just need so much of it to actually build a little spaceship and power it with it. So we're like nowhere near getting to that point where we can turn this stuff out and like use it for spacecraft fuel. Although it's pretty intriguing. Maybe in a few hundred years, maybe in a few thousand years, we'll be able to do that.
I personally think that within 100 years, we may be able to visit the stars. First of all, I believe in something called laser porting. And in my book, I mentioned the fact that one day we're going to digitize ourselves. Perhaps within 50 to 100 years, Silicon Valley will create a digital copy of ourselves that we'll put on a laser beam and shoot to the moon. In 1 second, we're on the moon. 20 minutes, we're on Mars. In 8 hours, we're on Pluto. And in 4 years, we're on the nearest star. And on the moon, you download the laser beam. All that information that allows you to reconstruct your personality is put into an avatar, a robot, a superhuman robot that can roam around the asteroid belt. And so for breakfast, you can have breakfast in New York. You can have a snack on the moon. You can have lunch on Mars. In the afternoon, you can visit the asteroid belt, visit Venus if you want, and then come back and be back in New York City at night. Now, maybe the aliens already do this. It would be very clean, efficient, no booster rockets, no accidents to worry about, no antimatter. You travel with the speed of light. Your digital copy travels at the speed of light, and you roam the galaxy basically as pure energy. What are your thoughts about whether this might already exist?
I think that's a fascinating thought, and I think it's certainly possible. I mean, we can imagine in the not too distant future actually doing this. And then, I mean,
when
we talk about stuff like that, and this takes all the, well, how much energy do you need for a starship, and that takes all of those problems out and just kind of throws them out the window, because I mean, you don't need to transport people, you don't need to transport biological beings, you don't need to worry about any of that stuff. And yeah, I mean, when you talk about what we're going to become as a species, as creatures, you know, that's a big part of this, right? We have to imagine what we're going to look like in 100 years and 1,000 years when we're trying to do these things. It's very possible, as you're talking about, you know, we're very different. We've kind of transcended biology, and like, we can either beam ourselves at the speed of light, or maybe we kind of think with like digital life, and so we're basically machines. And if we're machines, we can just kind of program ourselves into little nanocraft and just kind of sail out among the stars. We don't have to go super fast because we're immortal. Actually colonizing the entire galaxy doesn't seem so hard if you don't have this time constraint that you have to keep people alive or keep creatures alive. I mean, if you're just like on a beam of light, or if you're a machine, and you don't have to worry about any of that stuff, and you can just take your time getting out among the galaxy, and there's no urgency. So yeah, that's like a huge part of it, is like, what are we going to look like when we're doing these things? Because we're going to look very different than we do right now. That's pretty much guaranteed.
Yeah, in fact, I'll even stick my neck out. I think this may already exist. The aliens may already have done this billions of years ago, and they regularly zap across the galaxy at the speed of light. There could be highways, gigantic laser port highways that carry the soul, that is the information, of all these alien civilizations, and we are too stupid to even know of its existence. If a laser porting highway existed next to the Earth, we wouldn't even know it. We wouldn't even know how to detect it. We don't even have the beginnings of a technology by which we can even experimentally search for such a highway. And this is all within physics. I violated no law of physics in mentioning laser porting ourselves to the stars. And by the way, once you laser port yourself, you go to the stars instantly. When you're on the laser beam, time stops for all intents and purposes. So when you enter the laser port, you instantly leave the laser port on another star system. From your point of view, it took place instantaneously, no time delay at all. Even though on the Earth, of course, it would have taken hundreds of years. Well, unfortunately, we have run out of time. Once again, our special guest today is Michael Wall of Space.com. The book is called Out There, A Scientific Guide to Alien Life, Antimatter, and Human Space Travel for the Cosmically Curious. So, Michael, glad you could be on Science Fantastic.
Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun. I really appreciate it.
Okay, good. And once again, you were listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on national radio with your question about science. Good day.
Hey. Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.